Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland, then Heartland Baptist. This summer, we're taking a look at what it means to abide. So each week, we are going to take a look at a different practice that will help us abide, remain, and dwell with the source of life, Jesus.
All right. Short. Whew. It's been 3 months since I've been up here. It's good. It's great to be back. I got to confess, I'm a little nervous. Let's pray. All right. Will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father God, you are good. You are good. And God, it is good to be in your house. It is good to meet with your people. It is good to be able to worship together. And God, this morning, as we continue to look at this theme of abiding in you, as we look at this practice of service of each other, for each other, service of you, God, may we, as Steve's already said, have ears to hear and hearts to obey and a desire, Lord, to love each other as you've called us to love. So just bless our time together in your word, and we pray in your name. Amen. Can I share with you an interesting story? We just sang that song, and back in, I think it was probably April, Steve came to me. Steve and I meet regularly just to kind of map out where we're going with our messages and just kind of make sure we're on the same page and we're kind of following the same theme and staying true to God's word. And around sometime in April, I'm pretty sure it was April, Steve said, you know, listen, I want to get to a place where we wrap up in the spring John 14 so that we can spend the summer weeks talking about this passage of remaining or abiding in Christ. And man, I was like, I heard him say that and I was like, yes, yeah, fantastic. And a couple weeks later, my family and I went down to visit my mom, and we went and attended a church in Vernon, Emmanuel Baptist Church, and they sang that song. The one that we just sang. And I had never sang it before. I don't know if that's a new one to you as well. And so I think I was sitting in the service. And I pulled up my phone and I texted Steve and I was like, Steve, I just heard a great song that would be awesome to introduce and teach the congregation. And I sent it off to him, and I think an hour or so later, Steve texted me back and was like, Joel, I've already done it. And I was like, well, you know, just a neat God moment, right? It wasn't a huge thing, right? God didn't speak, and right? But it was just that moment of kind of going, you know, God, you do neat little things like that in our lives. And I think we need to cherish those moments, those God moments where he just kind of does something neat for us. And so I'm just super, super appreciative that you have been learning, singing that song together, that we have been singing those truths to each other and in worship of God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 15? We're going to read this passage, and I know you've probably heard it a number of times this summer. As we have been spending time, as Pastor Steve has been bringing us through this theme, this incredibly important theme of abiding or remaining in Jesus. And the definition of that, of what that looks like, of abiding that you've been working through is this: abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to Jesus and cultivating dependence on him. Let me read that again. Abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to Jesus and cultivating dependence on him. And the importance of this, of abiding, the importance of this command that Jesus gives us, that we must. It's not just it would be great if you do. It would be fantastic for you even if you did this. Jesus says, you must remain in me. And the wording that he uses in regards to the importance of remaining in Jesus Christ. So let me read this passage for us. Can I? And I want to read all the way down to 17. Steve, in a couple weeks, is going to be coming back to kind of doing the second part of this passage. So Steve, I'm not going to steal your thunder, hopefully, too much this morning. But I think just for context of what I'm talking about this morning, as we think of this practice of service, that's where I want to bring us this morning. As over this 8 weeks of the summer, we have been talking about these different practices that we can put in place to help us remain connected to Jesus, to help us develop these Christ-like characteristics of abiding in Christ and developing the fruit of the Spirit. And so the context of this later, kind of the second part of this passage, I think is important for us this morning. And so I wanted to include it as we kind of lay the foundation for our discussion this morning. So let me read this. It'll be up on the screen. You can follow along, but I do hope if you have your Bibles or a Bible on your phone or a device that you have with you, that you will find it and turn to it and follow along and have it in front of you. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burns. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Practice of service. Whatever comes to mind for you when you think of what it is to serve, maybe more particularly what it is to serve within the body of Christ, what does that look like for you in your mind? What kind of picture, what kind of thoughts? And I won't ask you to speak out this morning, but maybe some of you think of the gifts, right? Paul talks about the gifts in a number of places, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he has given so that we could serve each other within the body. Maybe that's what comes to your mind. Maybe you think of jobs and tasks and volunteering here at the church. Maybe you think it's August. September's right around the corner. I did an internship early on in my college years with a pastor that called this hunting season for pastors. And we stalk around the halls of the church looking for people who we can grab and fit into holes and spots and roles and positions in to fill the needs of the church and the ministries and the programs that we're running. I wonder if you think of yourself, or you think to yourself that service for me is that role or that job that I do at the church. Maybe my hour and a half of volunteering, my singing on the worship team, my being part of the hospitality team, my serving cookie and coffee, that is my service. I was excited when Steve gave me this topic to speak on. And I thought to myself, man, the timing is perfect. End of August, I can get up here and I can present to the people, man, here are the needs of our church. We need, you know, we've been talking about a third worship team. God, we need people who are musical. Who of you out there can play piano, right? And I was thinking, I can present the needs and, you know, what we need people to help out with art and kids. Junior youth, senior youth is starting up. We need leaders for small groups. Here's all the hospitality team. We need people who are willing to make cookies. Man, I can present these needs to the people at Heartland and say, hey, let's get out there and serve. But you know, as I started to pray and think about what I wanted to present this morning, God really, I think, started to speak to me something different. And started to say to me, Joel, am I more concerned about doing? Am I more concerned about the maintaining of activity and programs and the outer facade of what is our church to the people around us and even to the people inside of us? That service for me has become something that is just simply us doing activity. Is that what service is? Is that a service that helps us to remain and abide in Jesus? And I want to dig into that this morning. And I want to invite you to maybe walk with me through the process that I went through of asking and seeking God's guidance in what is it to serve? What is it to serve as God desires for us to serve? You know, part of my quiet time, I've been listening to a chronological reading of the Bible. And I've been enjoying that, but I'm coming to the end of Jeremiah. And alongside of that is the last king. So it's also chapters and readings in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Reading all about the great kings of Israel, right? No. Reading all about these kings who were not obeying God and how the people of Israel were not following God. And Jeremiah is writing in the middle of the time of the Babylonian exile, where God has said, okay, enough. Enough. Enough with your wandering. Enough with your leaving. Enough with your emptiness. I am going to send you into captivity and into exile to draw your hearts back to me. And you know, throughout those readings, one of the things that kept jumping out to me that I found surprising, I think I had in my head that, you know what, when the people of Israel and the people of Judah, when they wandered, right? They left, had nothing to do with God. But you know, what I discovered in these readings was that they were maintaining the outer facade. The priests were still serving in the temple. The Levites, that tribe that were called to kind of serve within the temple and to do the spiritual practices for the people of Israel, they were still doing their thing. I think we are told that the people of Israel were still even bringing their sacrifices to God because God says, I don't want your empty sacrifices. Your meaningless, ongoing, just meaningless service to me of maintaining this temple, it doesn't mean anything to me. What I want you to understand is that I want your heart. And you know, as a warning to me as I was thinking about and preparing for this morning, Do we as Harlem Baptist Church engage in just kind of empty maintaining to which we call service? Do we engage in volunteering and taking part so that we can carry on a program, so that we can keep the building looking nice, so that we can somewhat outwardly look like we are serving and loving God and each other? But the realities of our lives and the realities of what happens within this building is that we are just simply focused on ourselves, and when we go out there, we're engaging in worshiping other gods. Because that's what the Israelites were doing. God said, I don't want your empty service and your empty sacrifices. I want your hearts. That was a challenge to me. Am I calling people here at Heartland, as I present opportunities to serve, are we just looking to fill positions and roles to give somebody a job or to allow somebody to say, hey, I did my hour and a half of service at the church and I feel good about myself and I'm done? Or are we encouraging people to serve in a Christ-like manner? What does that look like? You know, in the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, our favorite passages of Scripture, right? 3.5 books, the second half of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What do they call that? The death of Bible reading plans, right? Death Valley, where everybody kind of goes, hey, it's January, and I start strong, and Genesis, the narrative's kind of interesting, and I get halfway through Exodus, and I hit the law, and it's like, ugh, right? 3.5 chapters of God saying, my people, this is how you can live to the standards that I have laid out for you. This is how I want you to live. And there is a lot of do's. There's a lot of don'ts. As God laid out and set his standards for the people of how he wanted them to live. And it became, for us as humans, something that we could not accomplish. We could not do. We fell short of the doing. And then we come to this beautiful new covenant that Jesus establishes, that we talk about a communion, right? Where Jesus says, this is a new covenant that I am establishing through my death, the blood that I am shedding. And what is that new covenant? The beauty of it is that it is no longer about what I do, because Jesus has done it for us. Jesus met the standard. Jesus lived the perfect life so that I don't have to, and yet still by the grace of God and the work of Christ in me, this is why I must remain in Jesus. Because there is no other way that I can meet the standards of God except through Jesus Christ. And the beauty of the covenant, the new covenant that we find ourselves under, it is not by works that I do. So what does that mean for my service? Does it not then mean, as we come to the verses that we read in chapter 5, John 15, verse 1, that now I have the freedom to serve others in truth and in genuine love? I came across and kind of tweaked this definition this week, and it says this: the practice of service is exhibiting Christ-like character to others for the glory of God. You know what's missing in there? What's missing is the doing. What's missing is the working. The practice of service is exhibiting Christ-like character to others. You know, as we journey through the New Testament, as it lays out the beauties of the new covenant of Jesus Christ, There are some incredible truths that I think are so important for us to attempt to grasp as we think of what it is to serve now within the body of Christ. We begin in John chapter 15. In verse 9, Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now what? Now remain in what? Remain in my love. It's interesting, isn't it? Up to this point, Jesus has been calling us to remain in him, remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now I want you to remain in my love. And he ends this passage in verse 17 by saying this, this is my command, love each other. Brothers and sisters, if we want to engage in true service, to serve freely, we do so by displaying and engaging and developing Christian character within us. And then what flows out of us is real and true service of others. Let me expand on this. Romans chapter 12, and there's all kinds of places that we could look at. But let me just kind of go through some of these passages that jumped out to me over this week as I prepared and studied. Romans 12 begins with that beautiful passage. I urge you now, brothers and sisters, present your bodies as living sacrifices to God. This is your pleasing act of worship to him. And from it, you will know God's will for your life. Directly following that, then, we get the heading that says this, humble service in the body of Christ. Humble service in the body of Christ. And Paul lays out some things of how we can serve others. And he talks about some of the gifts, and he presents to us ways that we are called to serve each other. And then directly following that passage in few verses, Paul says this, love must be sincere. So many times in the New Testament, what did I discover? That yes, there are passages, not 3.5 books, thankfully. There are passages where the scriptures lay out for us as Christians in service of each other. This is how we want you to act. This is what we want call you to do. But do it in love. But do it in patience and in grace and in mercy towards each other. Do it in Christ-like character, because this is the only true way that we can engage in service. Because it's not just about doing. It's not just about activity. It's not just about feeling good and accomplishing something of ourselves. It is about truly engaging and loving others as Christ has loved us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is an important passage when we think of the service to the body. That's the gifts passage. And it lays out for us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has gifted to the church and to us, to you. Scripture says each of us has been given a gift. Why? So that we can serve each other. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's prophecy. Maybe it's speaking in tongues. Maybe it's generosity. Whatever that gift is, or the gifts that you have been given, you are called to use it to serve others. And Paul ends that passage in verse 31 of chapter 12. He says this, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Desire them. Desire these gifts. But he doesn't end there. He says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Desire the gifts, that's great, but there's an even more excellent way. Chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Pretty incredible passage, isn't it? To hear all these incredible ways that God has gifted us so that we can serve within the body of Christ. But brothers and sisters, if we are doing it for our own glory, if we are taking and serving and just simply doing and looking for to ourselves, then Paul says that service is empty. But if we do it without love, if we do it without the fruit of the Spirit at work within us, that incredible passage in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, this character of Christ that is to drive our service of each other, that out of that character, as we remain in Jesus and develop the character of Christ, Christ-like character within us, that it is then that we can truly engage in the service of others. What does this look like? I don't want this morning to just call you to volunteer for a position or a role. I want to call you to Colossians 3, verse 17. I want to call you to the development of Christ-like character as you remain in Jesus. So that more importantly than saying, hey, I help out with junior youth, or I'm part of the hospitality team, or I come on a Sunday morning and make cookies and coffee, or I help with Heartland Kids, that instead I can say that through the Christ-like character that developed within me through the work of the Holy Spirit, that whatever I do, whether in word or deed, whatever I do, that all things that I do, whether in word or deed, I do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What an amazing place this would be if Pastor Joel and Pastor Steve were not hunting the halls of Heartland, going, hey, I need you to get up and sing on a Sunday morning. Kevin, you're singing next Sunday. What an amazing place it would be if out of the development of the character of Christ within us, I'm not just looking to serve for an hour and a half or volunteer for half an hour on a Sunday morning, but that everything that I do is done in service of God and of others. Because what is within me is the very character of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are called to serve. We are called to serve each other. We are called to do it in love. Not out of just doing a job. Not out of just maintaining a program. Not out of keeping up appearances or an outer facade. But out of a love for our Savior Jesus Christ. Because he has loved us. Steve asked me, or told me, that every week there's been a real attempt to kind of present the practical. So I got to my place of preparation going, where do I go from here? How do I make this really practical? Kids, can I say to you, guard your attitude. Guard your attitude. It's only human to focus on yourself. It's only human to think only about what you want and your desires. And it can become very easy, not just for kids, but for us as adults as well, to come to a place where we're saying, man, this God stuff is boring. Church is boring. Heartland Kids is boring. I would far rather be at home playing video games or hanging out with my friends. But can I say to you, guard your attitude. That you can find yourself in a place where you start desiring the things of God. That might seem crazy, but guard your attitude. Young people, can I speak to you for a minute? Know who you are in Christ. You're called to serve, just like the rest of us. But we can only serve, I believe, as Jesus is calling us to here in John 1, when we know our identity in Christ Jesus, and we walk in that identity. Don't establish your identity in the things of this world and how the world establishes and views you. Find the courage, not in yourself, but in how Christ Jesus sees you and loves you. Find your identity in Him. Adults, stop doing. I don't know if you're like me, but we can be busy. And we can just be banging through our days just trying to make it. Just to get to that time where maybe the kids are in bed, I get an hour and a half where I can just chill and just have time by myself. Don't miss those opportunities to love, to truly love. Don't, in the busyness of life and in what we're doing, stay in the shallows. Take the time to truly love. And to love by bringing Jesus into your relationships and into your conversations, and take the time. Seniors, you guys have so much to give to the body of Christ. So many ways that you can serve within the body. We need your wisdom. We need your experience. We need your warnings of the meaninglessness of the things that we waste our lives on. We need you as mentors. We need you as guidance. Seniors, you can serve us. There are young moms in our congregation who would love to have a grandma come along the side of them in the midst of the chaos and the unknown and speak wisdom. Senior men, there are men in this congregation who need another man to come alongside and just love us. Be a companion for us. Be an ear for us to hear. Seniors, you have so much to give in service of the body of Christ. You're not retired. We need you. Serve the body. Brothers and sisters, that whatever we do, in word or in deed, whatever we do, may it be done for the glory of God. May it be done in service of others. Let me pray. Heavenly Father God, may we just take this minute to reflect on what you are saying to us this morning. And God, maybe that reflection has nothing to do with what I've said. That's okay. God, would you and your Holy Spirit speak this morning? Would you take your word and reveal yourselves to us this morning? My prayer is that each person here, Lord, would have the ears to hear what you want to say to them. God, that they would not leave this place having not experienced something of you this morning. May we take that time, just this simple moment of reflection, to say, God, what would you have to say to me? Jesus, call us to true service. Not out of just simply doing, but out of Christ-like character. God, that we would be your hands and your feet. That we would truly be your body. Loving each other as you have called us to love. We pray this in your name. Amen.